Super Bowl or something like that. Is anybody ready for the game? Does anybody like football? All Christians are football fans. I'm telling you, if you're real, especially if you're a Razorback fan. Oh, yeah, we believe in having fun. We got some good events coming up. February will be Super Bowl Sunday. We'll be having that this year. That'll be fun. We always have a big time. We like to party at this church. And you can party and be drug free, alcohol free, you know, all of that free, and still have a good time and remember it the next day. That's a wonderful thing. We had a wonderful year this last year in our church, and I'll be sharing in upcoming messages about some of the outreaches that we did. I want to keep you up to date on that. But I'm looking forward to even doing greater things this year. I know we gave away some cars, and we sowed some wells, and we, you know, I think we got 3 wells and all kinds of other stuff that we were able to do this year. And I want to come to the place that we can give away at least 10% of our income back into missions and community work and all of those kind of things, plus thousands of volunteer hours from our people in our community. I've already been talking to the mayor about some projects that we can do through our life groups and our Servolution projects. So get ready to rock and roll this year. It's going to be a good time. I'm just going to do, this is not part of a series or anything, but go with me today to Proverbs chapter 27. This is the new year. One of the things that we always do during the new year is look back at the old year, and we think about all of the resolutions that we made and the things that we accomplished. How many of you accomplished some of your resolutions from last year? You stayed with them. Oh, that's sad. How many of you had resolutions that you did not accomplish? That's more, isn't it? Well, guess what time of year it is again? Time to set some goals and plans. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. I want to challenge you to have some goals and plans for this year. And I'm going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 27, verses 23 through 27. And this is about diligence. Diligence. Success is simple, but it's not easy. I'll say that again. Success is simple. The principles of success are simple. It's just not easy. Anything that we set out in life to do, most things in life are simple. They're not easy. Education is a simple thing. It's just not easy to get there sometimes, is it? And we're always looking for easy. We need to quit looking for easy. Life is not easy. There's nothing easy about life. Most of the things in life that are worthwhile are not easy. They're simple, but they're not easy. And we need to get the word easy out of our vocabulary, and we need to go back to the simplicity of life. And in doing that, I want to read this proverb. It says, "Be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds." Now, we're not an agrarian society by and large here. We're an industrial society. So we could say this a little bit different. Be diligent to know the state of your business. And attend to your business. Tend to whatever it is that is your business. For riches are not forever, nor does the crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed and the tender grass shows itself, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing and the goats the price of the field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and for the nourishment of your maidservants. In other words, if you'll take care of your stuff, if you'll do the things that you're supposed to do, then what you take care of will take care of you. We spend a lot of time sowing into frivolous things that have no value whatsoever. They do not have any return value on them. We waste a lot of time. And we need to get past that. We're people who are learning how to live life on purpose. You have a purpose for being here. You have a purpose for existence. And we need to learn how to do that. We want to talk about some things about plans and goals. And I love this. You don't get in life what you want. You get in life what you are. I'll say that again. You don't get in life what you want. You get in life what you are. It's the old law of attraction. You attract to yourself not what you want. You attract to yourself what you are. So if you don't like where you are and what you're doing, if you don't like what's coming to you, guess what you need to change? You need to change you. Quit looking at your circumstances. Quit looking at the things going on around you and say, well, you know what? If I had a different spouse, or if I wasn't raised in the family that I was raised in, or if I hadn't messed this up, if I hadn't done this, or quit making excuses. Start where you are. Start today. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. You can still accomplish the things that you're supposed to accomplish. You've got to have goals. You've got to have plans in order to do that. So if you don't like where you are, start changing some things. And we generally only change for two reasons. Number one, we're inspired to change, or we change out of desperation. I've seen this in marriage sometimes. You take a couple will get in trouble in their marriage, and one of them will leave. And all of a sudden, the other one who before was not attentive, was not the way that they should be, all of a sudden, they're going to change, they're going to do this. And out of desperation, see, they have to make some changes in order to save their marriage. Desperation is not the best thing to use to change, but sometimes we do that. The best thing to do is to be inspired to change. Not being changed out of necessity, but being changed because we see some things that we want to accomplish. We see some things that we want to be and set our hearts on those things. See, we need to learn to live positive lives and not negative lives. We have a tendency to be so negative and negative driven in everything in our life. We procrastinate and we put things off and we put change off and we put change off until it becomes very looming in our face. I dealt with this in my life. For years and years, I had a goal to lose weight and be healthy. And it just seems like every year thinking, okay, this year I'm going to lose the weight. This year I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I had to raise my hand with some of you that said they're things that I have set forth in my life that I did not accomplish. Year after year, 1 year turned into two into three into five, and five into 10. I went a decade with being overweight. And all of a sudden, I found myself physically begin to go downhill. You know what? When you're young, you can get away with some things. When you're young, you can abuse your body and get away with it a little bit. But as you begin, and I'm not old yet. My mama told me yesterday, she says you're not old until you're 15 years older than she is. And she's 81, so that's 96. So as you begin to get older, abuse begins to show up in your body. And over 10 years, well, more than that, more than 10 years of being obese and overweight, I wasn't feeling right. And I went to my pharmacist and I asked him some questions about some things. And he says, let me take your blood pressure. And he took my blood pressure and it was 160 over 120. He says, you go to the doctor now. He says, your blood pressure is at stroke level. So I began to realize that all of this urging that's been going on year after year in my life to get my weight under control, begin to control my appetite, begin to do the things that I needed to do, all of a sudden, now it was beginning to show up in my body. And if I didn't do something, then I would never be able to live out the life that God intended for me. And, you know, we abuse ourselves sometimes and then something bad happens and you say, well, I wonder why God allowed that to happen. God had nothing to do with it. I'll talk about me. If it's hit you, then so be it. It was my own dumb choices or my lack of the willingness to make a choice and stay with it that caused these things to begin to happen in my life. And now I'm on blood pressure medication. I don't want to live the rest of my life on blood pressure medication. So, I made some decisions, not out of inspiration. I was inspired, but it was not positive inspiration. It was negative inspiration. It was desperation. And I began to think, do I want to live to see my grandchildren graduate from high school? Do I want to live and be a part of their life? Do I want to get old and instead of being healthy, being weak and bedfast, or being in a nursing home, is that what I want for my life? If I want that, then I need to continue the path that I'm going. If I don't, then I need to make some changes in my life to help ensure that my health would be better. And so, I made some choices last year. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But you don't get out of life what you want. You get out of life what you are. And we only change either out of inspiration or desperation. And I know about that desperation. I want to live. I want to fulfill my ministry. I want to be a blessing to my family. I don't want to be a burden to my family. I don't want my health to fail me because of abuse of my body. And I think there's things that we can do to make the chances of that slimmer and slimmer. See, but many times we say, I need to do certain things. I need to not do this anymore. I need to do this. And a goal without a plan is just a wish. And a lot of times we're just wishing because we don't set any kind of plan in order to accomplish certain things. And really, we look at things and they loom in our lives like mountains. I was 86 pounds overweight. Now, that looked like a mountain to me. How do you lose 86 pounds? But, the problem wasn't the weight. I didn't need to conquer the mountain. I needed to conquer me. And when I began to conquer me, then guess what? The mountain began to take care of itself. And that's what we need to see. We always want to blame something else. We have to conquer our own minds. We have to conquer our own hearts to reach the goal. And here's one great thing about being a human being. We can change. You're not a tree. You can change. Trees can't change unless you cut them down. Human beings can change. In fact, 90% of people live without plans or goals. Isn't that sad? In other words, they just let life come at them and come what may. 90% of people have no goals or plans for their life. Now, they have wishes, but they have no plans. They have no goals. They don't have a way to reach the things that they want to do in their life. And all it is a wish. And here's some good advice. Walk away from the 90% and become one of the 10% that begins to do something about your life. I did not reach every goal that I set out for myself this year, but I reached some of my goals. And I'm going to reach more of my goals this year because there's some things that I want to change in my life. And it's up to me to change those things. I can only do what I can do for me. I want to give you some examples of things that you might want to look at in your life and some areas of your life that you might want to think about setting some goals and some plans and implementing some things. If you don't like where you are, if you don't like what you're doing, I'm not going to be able to cover everything, but you know what you have in your heart. You know what God's put in your heart. You know the desires that you have that you would like to see accomplished. And until you have a plan and a goal to accomplish that, all it is just a wish. And I'm going to talk about several areas today. And I'm going to mention some things. And I hope it inspires some other things in your thinking as we do this. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to do that in your life. Because we got a bunch of people here today. And I just can't be specific. And in fact, I don't know your heart and I don't know your mind. But the first area that I want to talk about is business. Business. What we do to make a living. Every one of us, in some way, we make a living. And let me give you some possible goals that you might set for your life. Number one in business is learn new skills. Learn new skills. One of the crazy things about going to school is that when we graduate, we think we're through and that we're through learning. I don't have to study anymore. I don't have to learn anymore because I have graduated. See, when you graduate, you're not through. That's just a place to begin. Because there's something out there that's called experience that goes way beyond what you learn in the classroom. And there are things that you need to experience in order to learn more. But so many people shut down and they go into this thing, okay, what I got to do now is make a living. There's more to life than making a living. We need to learn to make a life. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're shouting today. Is this stepping on your toes? Maybe, I don't know. But learn a new skill. In whatever business that you're in, learn more than you know now. Don't be stuck in a rut where you are right now. Learn a new skill. Another thing that you might think about is finding a mentor. Let me tell you something about you. You're not the very best. Here's the second thing, you're not the worst either. But there's probably people in your profession who are better than you are. You know what you need to do? You need to make that person your mentor. And if you say, well, I can't ask them questions. Well, if they've written books, read their books. Make somebody your mentor. That helps you learn. I want to know who the sharpest pastor is, what he's doing, and I want to learn everything that I can learn from him. I want to learn about his mistakes so that I won't make those mistakes. I want to learn about what he did to get where he's going. I wanted to know about his mindset. I want to learn everything that I can learn from him about ministry and pastoring in all of those areas of my life. So we all need mentors in our life. The third thing that we need to do is, since that we're not the worst at what we do, we need to learn to mentor others that we're better than. And here's something that's really neat about mentoring someone else. It keeps you fresh when you mentor someone else. When you help someone else along and you lift someone else up as high as you can lift them, it helps you. You grow as well as causing someone else to grow. Really, it's the law of seed time and harvest. It's the law of seed time and harvest. So another thing that you can do, and here's something that we can all do better, is improve in time management. The worst thing that we waste is time. You can waste money, but you can make more money. One thing about it is, you don't make any more time. You're only going to live a certain time in this life. And it's amazing. If we had a little time waste meter on the side of us, and we looked at it at the end of the day, we might see how unproductive that we really are in our lives, how much time that we waste. Now, and I think we do need some R&R time. But it don't need to be the big thing on our meter. We need to learn how to manage our time. See, you can work smarter and you don't have to work harder. If you learn how to organize your day and certain things and how to manage your time and where you're going and how you're going to get there and how you're going to route your way to get there, all of those kind of things that can help you save time. Here's another thing. Especially some of you who have been in some kind of business for a long time. Take a course. Learn something new. Stretch yourself. Stretch your mind. Stretch your understanding. It will make you a better business person. Maybe learn a new language. I mean, we're having a lot of Mexican people come into our area. Learn to speak Spanish. Learn a new language or learn a new skill. Maybe there's something that you've always wanted to do, You know, I was driving down the road the other day and saw the sign at First Community Bank. And it says, Master Gardening. And I thought to myself, I'd like to take that class. There are things that we would like to do in our lives. What do those things do? They increase our skill level. They increase our learning levels. You say, well, that don't have anything to do with what you're doing. You would be amazed at how that one area will spill over into another area of your life. And you may be a counselor, you may be a teacher, you may be a nurse, but by taking a course that maybe is totally unrelated to what you're doing, that you learn principles that help you in these other areas of your life. So those of you who are in business, those of you who are at work, get better at what you do. Make that your goal. Make that your plan. You know who usually gets the promotion? It's the diligent. It's the diligent person. In fact, it says in Proverbs 10:4, he who deals with a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes one rich. We're not designed to just coast through life and not learn. We're not designed to just coast through life and not get better. We need to get better in areas of our life. It will enhance you as a human being to do that. Another area is the financial realm. Finances. Boy, you know, the economy that we're living in right now, it's tough for some people. There are things going on in the stock market and in the job market that is just difficult. In some places, money's tight. And financial management becomes something that becomes more and more important. Let me give you some good advice. I wished I had taken this earlier in my life. I'm having to play catch up now. But under financial, start a savings plan. Start a savings plan. In other words, invest in your own future. I think you ought to put God first in your giving. I think that you ought to give 10% to charity or to church or to organizations that do good things. But we ought to give 10% to our future. One thing that if you would make it a habit to do, and especially you young couples, listen to this, because I didn't start doing this till I was in my 40s. I've been doing this over 10 years now, but paying 10% of my salary into an investment program so that when I retire, if Social Security is still there, I'll have Social Security plus this other thing to get by on. It's amazing the percentage of Americans who retire and they have no retirement program whatsoever. And it makes life difficult for them. But if we would have gone back, and I know it's hard, especially when you're raising kids. I raised 3 kids. I remember when they all started driving. All of them were driving. Our insurance, now this don't sound big now, but this was back in the 90s. We were paying about $6,000 a year for car insurance. And that's a pretty good lick then. And it costs money to furnish cars for kids and insurance and gasoline and all of those kind of things. It was a challenge. But we ought to have a disciplined saving plan so that we can ensure our future if the Lord tarries. 10% would be a good deal. That's what Dave Ramsey teaches. That's what Crown Financial Ministries teach. A lot of these teach that pay yourself. Now, isn't that a good turnaround for a church to say, listen, pay yourself. You're always saying, well, give it to the church. Let me say to you, pay yourself too. Save money. I'm not talking about putting money aside for a rainy day. I'm talking about putting money aside for your future. It's amazing that some of you that are in college now, if you would start doing that, by the time you retire, you'd be multimillionaires. If you wouldn't touch it, if you leave it alone, if you let it work. Some of you are doing that. Some of you have done well at that. Some of you know that you need to do that. Some of you wished you had done that. Let me tell you, do it as young as you can. It will pay off. Earn extra money to pay off debts. When you get extra money, try to pay those credit cards off. This is just good Financial plan. You need to have a financial plan for your life. Create a budget and learn to live on a budget. Quit spending out of your checkbook. Spend off of your budget ledger. See, it gets quiet when you talk like this. Yeah, but you don't understand. Yes, I do. I've been there. I have been there. I have been where many of you are financially. If you're not a giver, start giving. Joe shared it a while ago. It'll be a blessing to your life. Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the slothful will be put to forced labor. As I said a while ago, it's the diligent who is promoted. It's the one who is slack that never gets the promotion, and he's always having to work. I owe, it's off to work I go. But the people who are diligent, guess what? Did you know there are people who live debt-free? There are people in this room who live debt-free. Wow. And not all of them are old folks. There are some people here that live debt-free. That's a wonderful thing. I'm not there yet. I want to get there. Let's talk about the physical. Taking care of the body. How important is it that we take care of the body? Let me just tell you honestly, if I hadn't started taking care of myself, I probably wouldn't live to be 70. And I have good genetics. I have wonderful genetics. I have long life in my family. My grandmother was 90-something when she passed. My great-grandfather was 91 or 92. I've got several aunts that live to be in their 90s. I have the genetics to live a long time. My dad's 80. My mom's 81. So I've got good genetics. But good genetics doesn't always overcome abuse of the body. And we need to learn how to take care of ourselves. Some things that we could do is reduce the sugar in our diets. How many of you like sweets? Anybody like sweets? Oh, the rest of you are telling a story. You either like sweets or fats, one of the two. And those are two of the things that we need to reduce in our life because it's heart healthy. It's heart healthy. Another thing that we could do, and this is a good goal that we could set, is get adequate sleep. It's important that we sleep. Now, I don't mean 12 hours a day, but we need to get adequate sleep. Some people, they stay up all night long piddling on the computer and they don't get adequate rest and they're not productive in their lives because they're always sleepy. So, get good rest. Maybe you need to join a gym. Maybe you need to start exercising or walking. This is what I did. I started in January doing two things of this last year, January the 15th. I weighed 280 pounds when I started. I started walking 2 miles a day. I walked between 300 and 400 miles this last year. Say, how did you do that? One step at a time. Day after day. See, it's simple, but it's not easy. There are days I got up, I didn't want to walk. Guess what I did? I did it anyway. I got hurt in the middle of the year. I pulled a hamstring in my leg and couldn't walk for 5 weeks. When those 5 weeks were up, I was never so glad to get back to walking. I look forward to walking. I look forward to exercise. I hated exercise, and now I like it. What happened? I didn't change the mountain. I changed me. And when I changed me, the mountain started disappearing. I started counting. So people say, how did you lose that weight? I count calories and I write them down. I try to stay around 1,800 calories a day. I exercise. You got to do two things. You got to eat right, and you got to exercise. You can't do one, you got to do both. And I went from 280 to 216 in less than a year. Say, how did you do that? One day at a time. It's simple, but it's not easy. And the good things in life are simple, but they're not easy. Yeah, but I tried that. I know we've all tried that. I've been on diets. I've lost 30 pounds and put back on 40. I've done that several times. There's been two of me. I've lost and gained one of me. But guess what? I had to change me. And when I changed me, it changed my problem. When my blood pressure was 160 over 120, out of desperation, I knew that if I was going to live to see my grandkids grow up, I was going to have to change something. Don't wait until there's desperate situations to make changes in your life. Some of you would like to be married. Let me say something to you. I'm going to look up high so I don't look at anybody. We have lots of single people in this church. Become someone that someone would want to marry. What I need is a man or a woman. No. What you need to do is become the person that someone would want to marry. I want a godly man. Then you need to become a godly woman. I want a godly woman. Then you need to be a godly man. Don't be running around trying to sleep with every woman that you see. A godly woman don't want a whore. I don't know any other way to say it. Who did I say that in church, Paige? Wash out my mouth with soap. That's the truth. We're always wanting, we're wanting something, and we're not that ourselves. Come on. I want to be skinny, but I was eating like a hog. You eat like a hog, you're going to look like a hog. Jesus. Shall we pray? No, I'm not through yet. Now, you know, it's funny, but it's not. I could have died. And somebody said, well, I don't know why God let him die. Because he killed himself with his fork. How about another one? And I'm not condemning anybody. Hey, you be as big as you want to. I love you. I love you if you're big as a house. I'll preach your funeral. Say you was a good person. This is not about loving people and not loving people. We're talking about when we know that we need to do something in our life, then we need to have a plan to do it. If God's dealing with you, if God's not dealing with you about it, I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to love you any less or love you any more. It's not a deal. This is about you and you feeling good about who you are and where you are and what you're doing with your life. We have to make some decisions because you're the only one that can change it. Maybe you need to stop smoking. And I'm not condemning people who smoke. My dad smoked for 50 years, 4 packs a day. Now he has COPD and he's tied to an oxygen deal. And it's hard for him to go from the recliner to the bathroom and back without losing his breath. If he was here today, he'd get up and tell you, don't smoke. And if you smoke, please quit. I'm not, you smoke if you want to. I love you the same. But some of you want to quit smoking because you know what it's doing to you. Listen, wishing is not going to get it done. You got to have a plan. It's simple. It's just not easy. It's just not easy. Stop drinking. Maybe you need to quit drinking. Maybe you need to quit using drugs. Maybe you want to quit using drugs. We got a whole bunch of folks that can tell you how to do that. Because they've done it. And it took God in their life to do it. It takes God in our life to do anything that we want to do. And I love you if you do drugs or not. But you're just hurting yourself when you do that. Maybe you need to learn how to meditate. One thing I know that we don't do enough of is think. We don't take enough time to think. At the end of your day, you ought to just take a moment and ask yourself some questions. What did I accomplish today? What did I set out to accomplish? What did I leave undone? What is it that I need to do better tomorrow? It'll make you a better person if you will evaluate your day and take some time to meditate and think. Just use your brain. Let's talk about the mental part. Learn how to relax. Learn how to chill. Relaxation is something that's very important. Sometimes you have to schedule relaxation because it's important. Sometimes we feel guilty when we have some R&R. I don't. Read some inspirational books. I'm talking about your mind. Develop your mind. Refine your knowledge in a particular area of interest in your life. Become better at what you're interested in. See, it says in Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. One of the things that you'll do if you'll take time to stop and meditate and think is you won't be hasty about making some decisions that you've made in your life. Most of the decisions that we regret are some of the ones that we have made under pressure and we've done it hastily. And we paid the price because of those things. Hey, let's learn how to meditate. Let's talk about family for just a moment. This is so important. Family is so important. You know, one of the things that we advertise here, that we're a life-giving church, that we are a family church. And that means that sometimes we dismiss what we do here so you can be with your family. I got scolded for dismissing Wednesday night services. But it's important that you spend time with your family. And that's maybe that's one of the decisions that you need to make this year, is you're going to spend more time with the family. If you have small children in your home, a lofty thing to do is begin to read to your children. If you're not reading to your children, read daily to your children. It's teach them to love to read. And you start doing that by reading to them. Well, I don't have time. You don't have time not to. You're shaping the next generation. It's important that we do some of those things. Maybe you need to make that decision this year. Schedule a date night with your spouse. There we go. Is that the only lady that is going to say amen to that? Have a date night with your spouse. Spend one-on-one time with your children. You know, it's easy to do things as a family, but sometimes you need to take one kid aside and go do something special with that kid. You've heard of middle child syndrome? You know, there's always a squeaky kid. There's always one who's always getting all the attention. And then there's one that seems to always be neglected. Spend one-on-one time with your kids. It's important. It really is important. Let's talk about some spiritual goals. Let me give you some ideas of what might be a spiritual goal. Be more faithful in your church attendance. Maybe you need to do that. Maybe God's been dealing with you about getting more involved in the church. And you know, that begins with you coming, with you being a part. You know, I've had people say, well, you know, I just don't feel like I'm a part. But you're hardly ever here. How can you feel a part if you're hardly ever here? You can be as involved in this church as you want to be. We got all kinds of stuff that you can be involved in. You know, and one of the great things, and I know some of you thought about this, and you put it off and you put it off, but life groups. We have some wonderful life groups in our church. We have some good stuff going on in life groups. There's ways to study through life groups. There is social things that go on in life groups, and there is servolution things that go on in life groups. We have projects that we do. And it's a great way to get connected. You say, I'm bashful. Well, bust beyond it. I'm bashful too, believe it or not. I have to bust beyond being a little bit bashful about things sometimes. Read the Bible more. Ooh, that's a good one. You know, there are 260 chapters in the New Testament. If you read 5 days a week and read one chapter a day, you would read the New Testament through in 1 year. That's, anybody can do that. That's easy. There's almost 1,190 chapters in the whole Bible. If you wanted to read the whole Bible, 5 days a week, you could read 5 chapters a day. You could read the whole Bible in 1 year. Read books. There are some awesome Christian books out there. This is another area that I've developed in my life that has been so important to me. I hated reading. You know, preachers shouldn't hate reading. And I have made myself become an avid reader. You know that there's 25% of Americans that do not read at all. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But the average American reads 7 books a year. 7 books a year. And you can see where you fit in that. I have made myself become an avid reader. 2 years ago, I read 25 books that year. This year, I read 68 books this last year. You say, how did you do that? One page at a time. It's simple. It's just not easy. It helps to have a Kindle. It helps to listen to audiobooks. It helps. And plus, I read the Bible on top of that. You can do it. You can do it. You just have to have a plan. You have to decide to do it. And you have to be committed to do it. Day in and day out. Learn to read spiritual books. They will stretch you. Read different authors, different backgrounds. Let's talk a little bit about relationships. Then we're going to close. But make new friends. I want to tell you something about this church. We got some awesome people in this church. There's some awesome people in this church that you don't know. There's awesome people in this church that I don't know. And that bothers my heart because I would love to know everything about you. I would like to know who you are and about your family and about your testimony and how you came to Christ. But there are some awesome people in this church that you don't know. And many times we allow our own poor self-image or our own fear to keep us from connecting and getting to know new people. And you ought to just break out of your shell and make the decision that you're going to make some new friends this year. You say, I don't have many friends. Well, be friendly. You initiate. Quit waiting for somebody to initiate you. You be friendly. You decide to make some friends. Learn how to communicate better with the people you love. Learn how to say thank you and I love you and you're awesome and dude, you know. Write letters, send cards, make telephone calls, encourage. Lift up people. These are good goals to have for our lives. These are some things that we need to write down. I don't like feeling frustrated about my life. I don't like looking back to the last year and think, I wasted last year. I've done that. Don't like it. I look at this year and this past year, and I'm thinking, I accomplished some things. I didn't accomplish everything I set out to do, but I accomplished more than I did the year before. And that means that I know that I'm growing. And the only way that you can grow is on purpose. You have to have a plan. You have to be disciplined. You have to write some things down. You have to measure. Journaling would be a good thing, a good thing. And that's one thing that I'm working on doing is journaling about my life, journaling about my day. What did I do today? And sometimes I'm thinking, well, I'm wasting my time doing this. And then there's times I'm thinking, yeah, I can go back and measure stuff by this. So journal. Do some things in your life where you can measure your progress. Sometimes you need to remind yourself of your goals. Christmas and New Year's was hard on the eating thing. Thanksgiving was hard on the eating thing. And I had to remind myself, you can't eat all of the sweets you want to eat. I wanted pumpkin pie. I wanted apple crumb pie. I wanted six pieces of every kind of pie. And I ate more than I should, but I went right back to my way of eating. I went right back to my lifestyle. I went right back to it because it has become a habit in my life. And that's the way that we accomplish things is by things becoming a habit in our life. Bad habits are easy to start. Easy. All you got to do, indulge. Pornography is an easy habit to start. All you got to do is indulge. Overindulgence is easy because that's our natural inclination. Good habits are very difficult to start because it's not our natural inclination. But I do know this. If you drink water long enough, you'll love water. You'll crave water. You won't want as many soda pops. You'll want more water. But you have to make yourself do that. There's some people that learn to love beer. Remember when, I don't want to drag up old memories, but remember the first time you tasted beer and you thought, yuck, and you kept drinking it and then you got to where you loved it. That worked in the negative. But you know what? You can make it work the other way. It's simple. It's just not easy. But life is not easy. There's nothing about life that's easy. And if you're looking for an easy life, you're going to be disappointed with what you get. If you want a disciplined life, the reward is great. And it's up to you. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come at this time. We're going to have prayer time. As we begin to pray, I don't know what you need today. This is a new year. Some of you have got some resolutions that you've decided. Some of you may be here today and think, I'm just going to check out, see if I want to get involved in church real regular. It's a good day to make that decision. Maybe God's been dealing with your heart and you know that you need to make Jesus Lord. It's a good day to make that decision. There's so many things that we can decide today. But maybe you just have a need in your life and you need prayer. You need somebody to stand with you and pray with you. These people will do that. So let's bow our hearts. And as they begin to sing, then you feel free to come. Father, thank you so much that you love us. You love us no matter what we choose or do. But Lord God, you've given us so much potential that we have to choose in order for it to be fulfilled in our lives. Lord God, draw us to you that we make the right decisions. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
As I walked through the door, I felt his presence. And I knew this was the place where love abounds. For this is the temple of Jehovah God Almighty. On holy ground. Can we stand and sing? We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. So let us praise Jesus now, for we on holy ground. And in His presence there is joy beyond all measure. And at His feet, peace of mind can still be found. And if you have a need, I know He has the answer. Just reach out and claim it, for you standing on holy ground, and we are standing on holy ground, and I know all around. So let us praise, let us praise Jesus now, for we are standing, for we are standing in His presence. Yes, we are standing in His presence. We are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Father God, we just bless You today. God, thank You that we are in Your presence right now. God, thank You for being here, for showing up. God, thank You for when we are in Your presence, that's where freedom is. God, that's where lives are changed. God, thank You for touching our hearts and our lives today. Father, thank You for hearing our prayers. God, we know that You're in action to complete Your word in our lives. Father, just thank You so much that You have given us the ability to change through the Holy Spirit. God, I just pray that You just help us to search in our hearts and our lives this week. God, show us where we need to change. Show us where we need discipline, the diligence, God, to live the life that You have for us. Father, I just pray that You just help us to set these goals, to complete these things in our lives, God, that we can bring glory to You. Father, thank You so much, God, as we walk out these doors, Lord. We know that You're going with us, leading, guiding, and protecting us in everything that we do. Father, we just love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you guys have a great day. You're